trying to say is, so we have older folks, and then on the other hand, we have folks that are new to the Lord or new to the Lord's work or new to church. And with that in mind, some problems can happen. And one of the problems that I see is we're going to talk about is we get weak spiritually because sometimes we even get weak physically. And I don't know about you, it's harder to work a job when you're sick, let alone harder to do the Lord's work while you're sick. Amen. I mean, let's be honest with you. You get up and you don't feel like getting up. Are you sure you're going to read your Bible? You know, you sure you really want to come? And then if you don't come to church, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Well, I'll just listen to it on the radio. Number one, that's in a church location text, but also he says, how can they call upon him who have not heard, and how they hear without a preacher, and how they preach unless they've been sent. So there's churches involved with it, and so it does weaken us. So I desire to, it's just a three-part message or Sunday school lesson. I hope this is a blessing to you. Nehemiah chapter 4. The children of Israel, let's just get a little historical background. The children of Israel have been in bondage. Anybody remember how long the children of Judah have been in bondage at this time? It's a very small number. No, that's Israel. Israel still was in bondage for 70, good. It was 70. Remember Cyrus? In the book of Ezra chapter 1, it says Cyrus, the king Cyrus, which was an unsaved king, says, I'm going to send Israel back, or Judah back, to build the temple. And basically, Cyrus was a modern-day ecumenical preacher, or a king. He believed that every religion is equally the same. Cyrus did not get saved. God used a king that wanted to catch all the bases. Hey, has anybody ever been to someone's house and you see a Buddha over here and you look over here and there's a King James Bible and over there you see a little bitty thing, Eastern Orthodox, and then you may see a Catholic rosary. I mean, they're trying to cover all the bases, you know. I was talking to a preacher in Chile, Brother Arnie Smith. I said, Brother Arnie, how do you know when a person from Chile or Chile, you'd call it Chile, but it's actually pronounced Chile. I know that because he told me, because he went down there and called it Chile, and they're all looking at him like, it's Chile. So he came back and told me that. So anyways, he's down. I said, how do you know they're saved? He goes, when they want to get baptized. I said, what do you mean? He says, all Hispanic people want to get saved. And saved. And saved. And saved. I mean, they'll try anything. Any prayer. That's why I do not like the salvation prayer. That's just dumb. I mean, in the Bible, they prayed, all of them prayed differently. One said, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's it. You know, and so we got to be careful. Come see a man that told me whatsoever things I've done. Different kinds of prayers that given up by God. So, but anyways, we got this problem going on. And so the children of Israel are sent. I use the children of Israel as Judah and all those that were in captivity was sent back to build the temple. So they're building the temple. Well, guess what? The Assyrians, the Philistines, those in Gaza Strip, you cannot find the word Palestinian in the Bible. You don't find Palestinian in history until the ISIS came up with that word. It is a made-up word, a made-up nation. But we're so dumb in America, we don't know these things. But anyway, the Philistines, the Assyrians, they don't want this. And there are their surrounding people. They got the land back. They stole the land from, I got to remember, Gaza Strip, that was owned by the Jews. I know that's, and it's promised by God to the Jews perpetually, forever. So that's, a lot of people don't know those things, but that's a side note. So they are starting to build the temple. Now, let's be honest. How many would be honest with me if while you're working with one hand, troweling mud or mortar for the stone, on the other hand, you have a spear or a sword. You have one eye looking, and the other eye is looking to see if someone's shooting an arrow at you. Would you say you'd be a little bit stressed out? We have to keep one eye on the Lord's work and one eye on the world trying to get us off the Lord's work. And it can wear on us. And there ain't no way that you could say that all that COVID stuff didn't wear you down a little bit. Annoy you. Just for being annoyed would wear you down. So there's a lot of stuff in this world that can do it. So let's look at our text, first of all, verse 10. The Bible says, and Judas said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there's much rubbish. That's what my grandma used to call vain talking. Rubbish. It's kind of like what we hear from the United States government, isn't it? So that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come into the midst of among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. Always remember, that's what the devil wants to do. Cause the work to cease. You're trying to rebuild your home. You're trying to build a church. You're trying to be a witness. You're trying to come to the institute. The devil's trying to get the work to cease. Whatever way he can do it. If it's through sickness, if it's through finances, if it's through frustration, if it's through gossip and backbiting, he wants the work to cease. Our job is to keep the work going. He wants to get it to cease. Just keep reading. And it came to pass that when the Jews were, which dwelt by them came, they said unto us, how many times? 10 times. From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher walls. I even set the people after their families with their swords and their spears and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that, it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Life normally, in a normal everyday situation, could be difficult, can it? And it could wear on us physically. How many of you are getting older? And how many of you are like me, find out getting older, especially when you get past a certain age? I was told when I was 20 that when you hit 27, 30, you're going to fall apart. Then I was told 40, then I was told 50, then I was told 60. The last guy told me 70. I have 6 more years to hit that spot. I have found out it takes longer to recover from what I do. I could do any work that I could do before. I could still play basketball. I could still play football only for 5 or 10 minutes. But I could still do, no, I could do chop wood, nothing, carry lumber. But it takes longer to recover. And that's what I found out in my age. And someday I won't even want to do those things. I don't know when that's going to be, but in other words, we do have problems. So the first thing here is symptoms of it. What? It decayed. That means there was something there, first of all, but now it's decayed. How does this happen? When you know someone's strength has decayed? Well, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians, if you would, please, in chapter 2. We'll look at some verses of Scripture that might help you understand. How do I know when someone starts getting weary? And this is the thing I've been noticing in our church, and these symptoms is ones the things that I'm saying that I'm starting to see, okay, or hear. Look at chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless. Verse 14, and now 15 now, harmless. The sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may not run in vain, neither labor in vain. So Paul's talking to the church of Philippi through the Holy Spirit and says, the first thing is deploring. The word deploring means murmuring and complaining. It's deplorable. Deploring. We get to griping. Who is I working with? I was working with someone recently. Oh, I know who it was. I'll tell you exactly who it was. It was Brother Matheny. I was at a fellowship meeting with Brother Matheny. And Brother Gary Matheny, who we used to for 26 years until he retired. And then we supported him for another year until he got settled in to a church at Romania. He told me, he says, Pastor Savage, because I told him, I'm driving here and I got to drive right back home. He goes, you're coming all the way to Yakima and turn around and go back? I have to. I got things to do. And he goes, I'll tell you, I'm going to give you a counsel as an old man to a younger man, because he's in his 70s and I'm in my 60s. Like old man, anyway. He says, be careful to get too busy, because if you get too busy, you get tired, then you get gripey. And you start being grouchy and you start murmuring and complaining, finding fault. And now what happens? Are you at that point in your life to where all of a sudden you're complaining more than you used to? The sun's not shining. I tease about my wife that if it's sunny, she's going, look at the sun! And when it's cloudy, she goes, ugh, it's cloudy out. She likes the sunshine, and she enjoys it, which is great. But she doesn't complain, but some people complain about it. If it's sunny, it's too bright. I got to move. I'm so mean, ain't I? I see, there's another complaint. You're so mean. There you go. But you follow what I'm saying. Sometimes we get to griping and complaining about things. We get to murmuring, looking for fault. Nobody likes someone like that. Let's be honest. We all have a family member like that, don't we? They'll come in, the lighting's wrong, the pictures are crooked. Where'd you get this carpet? And that is actually a sign that your strength is going. Because, you know, strong people don't talk like that. Confident people don't gripe and complain all the time. We see in Proverbs chapter 6, if you go please, Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Let's be careful that we don't get deploring, which is, I looked it up. Now I was trying to find a word that started with a D that means murmuring and complaining. And deploring is the word. And here's another one, if you would please, chapter 6, verse 12. A naughty person and a wicked man walketh with a froward mouth, and winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things doth the Lord hate, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. Listen to this, and here's the seventh one. If you count them out, that's six, and here's the seventh. And he that soweth discord among brethren, and we just saw that that's a wicked person that sows discord amongst brethren. And discord is not the word, it's disputing. Disputing, fighting, arguing, quarreling. I have still a daughter-in-law. When I first met her, I don't know what was going on in her life. Now she's sweet as honey now, but when she first got into our family and we used to sit down and talk, she would argue over everything. You couldn't say anything without her having a disagreement about it. And I don't know if she was just trying to find a way to communicate. To this day, I haven't sat down and asked her, hey, you used to be a brat. What happened? You know, you used to be an arguing person. Now you're not. But this, she always looked to dispute. Always looked to find. We've had people come in the church, and you can tell by their attitude, they're looking for a reason not to stay. The lighting, the carpet, the pews. Oh, he made me stand to sing a song. You know, I mean, I've seen it. I've seen him even get up sometimes. Now, sometimes people, when they're getting up, they're hurting. And I know in their lives that they're hurting, so I could see that it hurts for them to stand up that often, stand up, sit down. Praise the Lord, you're not Catholic. Catholics stand up and sit down a lot. I was Catholic for a while, and we did a lot of up and down in our church, but disputing. Let's be careful that we be one of those people that are looking to sow discord. But what happens is when your strength goes down, you start getting argumentative and you start looking for fights. When your strength goes down. And we got to be careful of that when you have that heart and that attitude, especially amongst the brethren. And that's what he's talking about here. Listen, folks, we're living in a day and age where Christianity is becoming small-er. And it's getting smaller and smaller. And then you throw conservative. And I don't like using that word. Believe it or not, we came up with conservative before the Republicans did. Conservative Christianity has been around for a lot of years, but they use that. I don't like using that word too much, but conservative, staying faithful, fundamental with the words of God is tough to find. It's hard to find a church preaching out of the King James, 1611. It's hard to find a church that has separated church. It's hard to find a church that's not cowering and trying to feed the world in you. That's hard to find. And so when you find that and you want to get involved with that, protect one another. Amen? The next one, Mark chapter 5, if you would, please. Mark 5. Well, we'll read a few verses before we get this one. You can probably catch it real quick. You might be able to write it down before I even tell you. But Mark chapter 5, we're going to verse 36. Mark 5, verse 36. So what are the symptoms? How do I know my strength is getting weak? Well, you start getting a murmur and complain about things and things that never bothered you before. I was telling my wife this morning, one of the things I have seen, we was watching a clip on that, what's his name, that guy that, Redenhauser?
Kyle Rittenhouse,
and an update on him. He's 20 now, so 3 years later, an update on him. He's writing a book about it, about his life. And anyway, he had an interview that went totally south. My wife and I was watching going, wow. But anyway, this is what captured me. We dramatize so much when we're tired and beaten up. Everything becomes major. That stubbing your toe becomes a major event. That sore back, that refrigerator going bad. I mean, now God don't love me anymore. I'm serving you, Lord, and look what you did. I know none of you do that. Gary? I was given a sign. I put it in my garage so I could come in every day and see. As John Wayne, he says, the world is tough, but it's even tougher if you're stupid. So, case in point. Let's be careful. Mark chapter 5, verse 36 says this, if you would with me. The Bible says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Chapter 9 of the same book, chapter 9, if you would. Look down at verse 23. Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Come on, amen? Okay. Now, if you would, chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall, here's the next, here it is, shall not doubt in his heart. Doubting comes. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Doubting. Sometimes we doubt. Now, the three spaces are the three people we were talking about. The first one was Jairus. Now, who's Jairus? What was going on in Jairus' life? Okay, his 12-year-old daughter. Remember, the woman had a 12-year problem with blood and came up behind us because Jairus had came to Jesus and said, come, my daughter is dying. So, sick unto death. And remember, a woman with an alabaster box, came up behind him, had a bloody flux or something, and spent all she had on doctors and not got better. Let me just throw you this out, and maybe you don't know this. God cures, doctors just deal with the symptoms. It's God that cures. Doctors just make you feel comfortable while you're dying. God can cure whatever it is. But anyway, so she said, if I just touch the hem of God. Well, she delayed Jesus for a few minutes. And I believe that Jesus allowed that to happen because he wanted that messenger to come with the message, don't trouble the master, your daughter's dead. And Jesus turns to Jairus and says, oh, don't be afraid. Only believe. And you know what happens. He ends up going to the house. They laugh him to scorn. He kicks everybody out. But Peter, James, and John, you say, why Peter, James, and John? Peter was going to be the next pastor. James was right after him. And John was supposed to be the last apostle alive. Those are the reasons. And also, those three were always in trouble. You know as well as me. You let the rest of the kids run wild. But the one that's always in trouble stands right next to you. These people go, Peter, James, John must have been good apostles. No, they were the brats. You stay right here by me. Let the other guys go out in the work. You stay right here. But they ended up being leaders. Amen. We see, and then you know she was raised from the dead. The disciples, we see that in Mark chapter 9. The disciples were doubting, and they needed faith in God. The last one's Peter. Peter's down, caught in remembrance. Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Peter going, how'd that happen? There's a lot of people in our lives that doubt. Now, we could say this with a hearty amen. There's sometimes things God does in our lives we tell other people and they go, oh, that's just a coincidence. Right? They misdiagnosed. Oh, yeah, that was going to happen anyway. Just by chance. Or, okay, yeah, those are doubters. You know, the sad part is when we get to doing that. Mm-hmm. And we get to doing that because our spiritual strength as well as our spiritual strength and our physical strength is decayed. And see, these are the symptoms of it. Okay, what's the source? Go, if you would, please, to chapter 24 of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 24. And then we'll go back to our text. Bless you. And then we'll go back to Nehemiah. I got to get a marker in here in Nehemiah so I don't lose my spot. Okay. Proverbs 24, the Bible says, if, in verse 10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Anybody ever fall under a load? Physically? How many have ever had a foot or a knee go out? Man, there's nothing worse than that. You're walking around, all of a sudden your knee goes, whoop, okay, hold on a second. You don't like it. Why? There's something's not working right. There's a little strength that's missing there. And I've seen a lot of Christians fall under a little bit of a burden. Okay, so what's the source of it? First of all, we see in verse 10 of the book of Nehemiah chapter 4, he says, the strength of the burdens... bearers of burdens is decay. So the first one is physical exhaustion. Okay. One of the things that's tearing our young people, I talked to a couple of them yesterday about this. My son's done an extensive study on it. He had to. He's a manager. He was at one time for a tech company and all of their tech, what do they call them anyway? What do they call the tech guys? What do they call them, Gary? The guys that go out and fix all the tech stuff. Computer, I like that one. System engineer. Okay, let's just say that. System engineers. So he had about 30 or 40 guys that he had to deal with, and he had to make sure the production was going well. So he looked at some studies because some of them weren't producing, and they were very smart, had very, very good understanding of the jobs, but they weren't getting things done. And so he started asking questions, and he did some studies. And he used a word that I've heard a couple times in my life, but I never thought it was the word endorphins. Endorphins. So in a drug addiction or alcohol or cigarette addiction, any kind or food addiction, it's a physical reaction to a product. So it's actually a physical, chemical, mental per se reaction. Those things can be overcome by detox. Well, there's one thing that they have figured out in modern, I call it sin, but modern technology, that they found a different way to get a hold of you and addict you. It's called endorphins. And what that is it reaches your soul and your lust. It's called video games. and it works on that. And you say, well, what does that have to do with exhaustion? Have you ever seen a kid or a man come into church or go to work because he stayed up all night playing video games? Come on. Now, I know I've heard this all my life. Oh, you're just an old fogey. You know, well, one thing is, we didn't, praise God, we didn't have them back in our days. Praise God, the world hadn't got so bad that they figured out a way to entrap men and women, especially men and young men. It's just killing our youth. Youth don't want to go out and do anything. It's rare to find a young person that wants to get out and go to work or go to school or do something physically with themselves and mentally combined. It's rare because they're so entrapped in these things. And tell them not to play them. 1 hour. It's off in an hour. Do your homework first. Yeah, we have some kids that, yeah, they'll come in and they'll have 1 plus 1, or 10 plus 1 is 1. In other words, they just wrote answers down, turned it in. Mom signed it. Oh, they did all their work. Get there, my wife's looking at them going, hold on a second. And she'll start asking them the same question. They have no idea what she's talking about. So she have them erase the whole thing and redo it all right there in class. Start all over. It's obvious. Well, what were you doing? Mom and Dad said you can't get done. You can't play video games until that's done. It used to be you can't go outside and play.
Come on.
Can't go hunting. Yeah. Can't go fishing. Whatever it is, until you get that done. It's just something. But some also, folks, us old folks. I was telling Dennis, because he's like me, every once in a while, if you have physical pains or difficulties, sometimes I get a heartburn. Sometimes I'll eat late. One of the reasons why I don't eat late down there, a lot of people, aren't you going to eat? I got in the habit of eating my big meal at noon. So eating at 6 or 7 o'clock isn't going to happen in my life. And if I do, it's going to be small. Because if not, I'm up all night going, bleh. And that keeps my wife up. And you don't want Princess unhappy. So I found that I could go in my recliner and recline all the way back, and it's up enough to where it doesn't give me heartburn, put a mint in my mouth, and 5 minutes later, I'm out. And the mint's hanging on my tongue, hanging on. I just pick it out, set it down, and I'm out. I told him that. Hey, find a way, because if not, you get exhausted. And when you're tired, you don't go as good. We got some people in sport. I know in golf and sound. Anybody else in sports? You in some sports, running. And when you're tired, it's harder to play as good. Well, it's the same way when it comes to doing the Lord's work. You know, you can easily be tricked, tripped up, because you're tired. When your mind's sharp and your body's going good, forget those guys. You'll whoop the snot out of them. Get rest. As we found out in our school, we tell them, get some rest, get up, eat a good breakfast, come to school. Man, their minds are like when they walk in the building. Some of them come in that look like they got, you remember the old saying, brought in wet and hung up to dry? Some of them look like that. Crazy. So physical exhaustion. Next one, look at verse 10 again. So it says, and there is much rubbish. So look what it says. So we are not able to build a wall. The burden, the bearers of the burdens is decayed. That's the next word I want to get. Frustration exhibited. Frustration exhibited. They focused on the obstacles instead of the opportunities. There's rubbish in the way. Question I have for you. If there's rubbish in the way, what should you do? Move it. Move the rubbish. So we went over to the church last Saturday and kind of got the building together and had to do a little bit of things, clean up. I wanted to get it ready for the meeting today, so when they come out, and I knew this Saturday was going to be tough. So last Saturday we did it. So I told Brad and Brian, I said, clean out the utility room and drywall it, and then we'll put the stuff back in. And so when they pulled it out, here's the door. Well, there's the corner of the wall. They put it all right here, and it was in the way. So, and they had it kind of at an angle to where if you grabbed a sheet of sheetrock and walked in, you'd be tripping over that stuff constantly. So I'm over there flipping it out of the way up against the wall. And I says, get it out of the way, guys. It's going to be in your way. And you won't get as much done. And you'll have to concentrate on that thing. Right? Get the rubbish out. But we get frustrated. You ever been frustrated? Trying to get some work done and it's not going right. And we got to be careful that we, my wife sees me sometimes, and I told her, I says, and what I was, Kyle, I forgot to finish that about Kyle Redenhouse. Because of the frustrations he's been going through in media, the sad part about media today is you can't get rid of it. It's always around. Unless you're trying to find out a receipt on the email, you know, it's a tough one. But yeah, it might be gone. But the problem is we've dramatized everything so much that it's hanging over us like Pigpen. Remember him and Peanuts? We got this cloud of doubt and frustration that we hang on to. Listen, folks, if you're over 12, forget the stuff that happened when you was 10. You're going to have problems in life. They're going to come and go. And I don't know about you. I've always seen this. Use rubbish or stumbling blocks as stepping stones. So you failed at third grade T-ball. That doesn't mean you can't become a good baseball player. So you failed at your first play in fifth grade. That doesn't mean you can't join the choir. But we use these things and we get frustrated and it gets exhibited, okay? We exhibit our frustrations. And I told my wife, you'll see me. She'll see me get really like, ah, I'm done. She goes, why'd you do that? I had to get it out. I was getting it out now. I don't want to work all day being mad. So I just go, one day we had a water problem when we first moved into the house. We fixed it. Praise God. There was a drainage thing. It was plugged up. But anyway, got into the house. I go down there. I told Brenna I need a check, and I go down there because it got a little bit of water the night before, and we cleaned it up, thought we had it. And all she heard was, no! She goes, oh, we must have more water. I got the vacuum, the buckets, and cleaned it up. I was fine after that, but I had to get that out. So I suggest that's a good way. Don't hang on to it for the rest of your life. Amen? Sometimes we hang on to it, and it gets involved. Let's don't allow these things to block the opportunities we have in the Lord's work. Last one, verse 11, it says, and our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. The last one is intimidation exerted. Intimidation exerted. Let me just throw this out. Fear. Now, this is a sad thing. Winston Churchill had a very famous quote about fear. Anybody remember it? Nothing to fear but fear itself. But America has produced in the lives of most believers today a lot of fears. Okay, I'm going to throw some things out. Please don't get mad at me, but this is a sign of fear. Insurance. We get insurance for everything. Why do you get insurance for things? Tell me, why do you get insurance? No, because you can live without insurance. People did that for 6,000 years. Amen. Zach? Okay, that is a fact. Government says get it or you lose it. Amen? But that's about the only reason why we ought to get insurance. Catastrophes. Some people, it used to be, do you remember the catastrophe insurance that used to be? You'd go in there, it was like $10 a month, and it was for catastrophes. It wasn't for, you could walk, you still had to pay when you walked. Of course, back then it was $20, $25 go see the doctor to tell you, take two pills and don't do that. Call me tomorrow. But a lot of times that's what you got. You know, I remember my boss sent me, because I was driving a lot of steel pins and my forearm was getting hurt, my elbow, and he said, go to the doctor. I went to the doctor and he says, you got tendonitis. I said, what's that? Because I wasn't a tennis player or anything. He goes, well, you know, he explains it to me. I said, what do I do? And he goes, nothing. It'll go away. $200. I didn't have, praise the Lord, the insurance from his business paid for it. But a lot of that. Here's another one. Medicines. Medicines. There's a pill for everything. Am I right? Now, how many of you, let's be honest, how many ever have been prescribed a medicine and found out it wasn't good for you? I I still remember my wife and I, when I first moved up here, was living with a couple, a preacher and his wife kindly allowed us to stay. They had a five-bedroom house, kind of like ours, and they were by themselves, and they wanted to use it for pastors and stuff, and we came here to start church, and we didn't have a, we got actually kicked out of our home, and he says, hey, why don't you stay with us until you find a home? So we stayed there for 2 months, and I'm in there on a Saturday. I go in there, and Jack was his name, and Jack was watching ladies tennis. Why? I found out later. He told me honestly later, he says, ladies look better at playing tennis than guys. I just started laughing. Here's a 75-year-old man that loved ladies tennis. And I thought, that's hilarious. Anyways, but we're watching it, and his wife comes in with a basket, sets it down, and it's full of medicines. And she has a list, and she's got a big old 2-liter thing of sweet tea. And she'd reach down there, and for a half an hour, she'd take pills and sip that tea. Take pills and sip that tea. I asked her, I said, how many medicines? She goes, well, there's 24 different kinds of medicines, but some of them's two, some of them's three, some of them's one. Now, add that up. And how often do you have to do that? Every day. So I said, why? She goes, because of my condition. What do you got? It sounds like you got a lot. And she goes, I don't know. The doctor prescribed them. She goes, so we went in the room, and I said, you got a medical? She brought out this big old book she has of all the pills and what they do, the side effects. And she goes, well, I need this because I need, but this one takes potassium out, so I need that one. I'm going, oh, my land. So I said, if you don't take this one, you don't have to take that one. She goes, oh, good. If you don't take that one, you don't have to take that. We knocked it down, the 24 kinds of medicines, to 8. Called her doctor up. And I'm not a doctor. Call the doctor up. I said, call your doctor and say, I'm taking these 8 medicines. Is that all I need for my condition? She goes, let me get your chart. So he got the chart out. She said, I'm taking these. He said, yes, that's all you need. She said, what about the other 16? He goes, what other 16? But we're so fearful of having bad health. Come on. That whatever a doc says, I mean, he's got a degree in practicing medicine. Yeah, practicing, and you're the guinea pig. Yeah. I'm not saying pills don't go there. I think they should. They're a temporary thing. I don't think it ought to be something that you're constantly popping down you. But we are fearful. These are things we're fearful. Government. Discern it. Now, we don't want to be fearful of government, but sometimes they're around. I was talking to the gravel guy, and he said the pit police were here. And I said, what's that? He goes, codes and administration of running pits, you know, gravel pits. And they want to run safety. He goes, yeah, I understand safety is important, but they get a little ridiculous. I says, what safety is there in delivering gravel? Do not run over people. You back up and you lift it up and you don't open the chute and stand there while someone pulls away. I says preparation. Anyways, what we do? Mandates. News media. We get caught up in these things. Listen, folks, we got to be careful with these things, these sources that could cause fear in us, intimidation exerted, frustration exhibited, and physical exhaustion comes. Those are the sources of us being decayed in our strength. Next week, we don't have time, but next week we'll go into the solution. It's on the back page. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, care for us. We thank you that we have a great God. Thank you for the blessing it is to be His servant. Watch over the remainder of the services, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.